So in today's gospel, Jesus is being tested again by the Pharisees. That's a pretty consistent theme in the gospels, Jesus being tested by those people who would consider themselves his adversaries. And the test today is deciding which commandment in the law is the greatest, which is a difficult question because there are over 600 laws in the Old Testament. And so they're asking Jesus to land on one of them. And whichever one he chooses is probably going to make someone upset, which is why they're happy to ask him this question. But Jesus, as always, avoids the trap that they're setting. And he says that all of the laws of the Old Testament come down to these two things: love of God and love of neighbor. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I think this is helpful for us because it helps us to understand what authentic holiness looks like. Authentic holiness doesn't just mean love for God and being a crab towards everyone else. That's not authentic holiness. Neither is authentic holiness in merely loving neighbor and not loving God. I mean, there are plenty of people who say things like, well, I'm a nice person, I don't need to have a relationship with God, or I don't need to worship at Sunday Mass. But actually, Jesus says we need both. We need love for God and love for neighbor. One thing that's interesting is that he says we should love God with our whole heart, all of our heart. And I think that brings up a question. If all of the love of my heart goes to God, is there any love for anybody else? And I think sometimes we can think this, that I just have a finite amount of love in my heart to give, and so I might end up, if I give all of the love of my heart to God, I might end up leaving somebody out. I won't have enough love for my spouse, I won't have enough love for my kids if I love God with all my heart. I think that's a normal and good question. But Jesus doesn't see, apparently, any contradiction between loving God with all of our heart and loving our neighbor as ourself. And I think where we really see this is in the lives of the saints. And this is where we see authentic holiness in action. So we take, for instance, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa got up very early every morning, and what's the first thing that she did? She went to the chapel where she and the other sisters would have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament every morning for over an hour, and then they would have Mass. And she insisted that that's the way that they start every single day. And then how did they spend the rest of the day? Well, Mother Teresa the rest of her day was consumed by care for the poorest of the poor. There are many beautiful stories of Mother Teresa, how she, there's one story of she was ministering to someone in the streets of Calcutta who was dying, who was being eaten. I mean, he was dying, but he was full of maggots, and I mean, it's just a really horrible death. But anyway, she was caring for him and picking the maggots out of his skin and washing him. And he said to her, "Why do you do this? Why are you doing this?" And she looked at him and said, "Because I love you." Her love for Jesus didn't exclude others from love, but actually opened her heart up so that she could love others. And her love only increased for others as her love for Jesus increased. This is because God is not a competitor with us. He made our hearts He made our hearts for love, and he made our hearts such that the more that the love of God fills our hearts, the more available we are for others, the more our hearts are open for others. We see this in many of the saints who started religious orders that are devoted to the care of the poor, the care of the sick, hospitals, schools. But even those other saints who had other apostolates and missions, they still live the same reality. And one of the things I notice about people who I believe are authentically holy is how loving they are towards other people. And not just towards the people that they know well or their loved ones. I mean, Jesus says, if you love those who love you back, what merit is that in that? He says, love those who can't pay you back. Love those who don't love you back. Love your enemies. So that's the sign of authentic holiness, when our heart is really full of love for God. I guess this week I've been thinking a lot about another saint, St. John Paul II, because his feast day is on October 22nd, which is this past week, and he's the patron saint of our area faith community. I actually was so consoled by that fact. It gave me even more confidence that God wanted me to come here, because St. John Paul II is very important in my life. There was an experience that I had in 2004 when I was visiting my sister and my cousin, who were both studying abroad in Europe. And so we met in Rome during Holy Week, and we went to the liturgies at St. Peter's that year, and they were presided over by Pope John Paul II. And this was 1 year before he died, and it was the last year that he would be the main presider at these liturgies, because the next year he was too sick. And then 1 week after Easter on Divine Mercy Sunday, he died in 2005. So this is the spring of 2004, Holy Thursday evening. My sister, my cousin, and I are in the Basilica, and we were really happy about the seats that we got. We were right on the aisle. If you've ever been to a papal mass, you know that it doesn't really matter how far you are towards the front, because the Basilica is so huge, you'll never be able to see anything anyway. But where you really want to be is on the aisle, because the Holy Father walks right by you. And so as it gets closer for Mass to begin, you know the Holy Father's entered the building, because then you hear the clapping start from the back of the Basilica. You can't see anything because it's huge, but you hear the clapping, and it gets closer and closer, and then you can see the servers with the processional cross and the incense, and then this long row of bishops, and then finally there's the Holy Father. So as I'm standing here next to my sister and my cousin, waiting to be able to see the Holy Father, I just have this realization as I'm looking at everybody that everybody has a camera in front of their face. Like literally everybody's face was obscured because it was behind a camera. We didn't have, of course, this is before people had cell phones, or at least cameras on their cell phones. And so, but I didn't have a camera. And I was just thinking, I'm here enjoying the moment, and I don't have a camera in front of my face. I just had that thought, and I remember thinking, I wonder what it's like for the Pope to like just see cameras in faces all the time. You know, like when he walks down the aisle, it's just like cameras that he sees. So anyway, when the Pope is a short distance away from me, probably 15 feet or something, you know, I'm watching him intently, and then he looks at me, and he locks his eyes into mine. And it seemed like about 5 minutes that he was staring into my eyes and down into my soul. It was probably like 2 seconds or less, but it felt like a very long time. And so he walks by, the moment passes, And it was, I was really struck by his eyes. And my cousin turns to me and says, "He was looking at you," which I was grateful for because otherwise I might have thought that I just imagined the whole thing. But as I've reflected on that moment, I realized that it wasn't so powerful because he's a famous person or a celebrity, or even because I have a great deal of respect for him, which I did and do. But there was, when he was looking at me, I felt like he knew me, and I felt like he loved me. And there was something so powerful about that sense of being known and loved. And I felt through that gaze, I felt God knowing me and loving me. So eventually when I would go back home, I was teaching in a Catholic school at the time, and one of my coworkers was a religious sister, a Filipino Benedictine nun, and she was always trying to get me to go to the seminary. And she says, so I tell her the story, maybe I shouldn't have told her the story, but I told her the story, and she says, "Oh, Matt, you know what this means. The Holy Father is calling you to be a priest." But in some ways, I believed that. And I guess what I, the universal experience of Pope John Paul II, I mean, from people who knew him well or from people who met him in passing, is that when he looked at you, you felt like you were known and loved and the only person in that room, and that all of his attention was fixed on you. And I think that's a sign of holiness, because the more time we spend with God, the more authentic love that we have for God, and that the more that we allow God to love us, the more our hearts expand so that we can have authentic love for others and really love others and welcome others into our hearts. So, I think this is helpful for us. Sometimes we come across somebody who spends a lot of time in church, but they're really not very nice to be around. And it's important for us to know that that is not a sign of authentic holiness. Neither is it a sign of authentic holiness, someone who's really nice to other people but doesn't give God any time or any attention. Authentic holiness is when we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And if we do that, we're going to love our spouse so much better. We're going to love our kids so much better. We're going to love our family members and loved ones, but we're also going to love those we don't even know. The poor people, people who are neglected. This is how the love in our hearts can grow and expand and increase without any limit, because God, who loves without any limit, can be found in our heart.